Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. This is God's Word. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they answered, "we will spend the night in the square." But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." "Get out of our way," they replied. And they said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door, but the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters, and said, "Hurry, get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you've shown great kindness to me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to him, "Very well. I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. But flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. One day the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there's no man around here to lie with us, as is the custom all over the earth. Let's get our father to drink wine and then lie with him and preserve our family line through our father." That night, they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and lay with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. The next day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Last night I lay with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, and you go in and lie with him so we can preserve our family line through our father." So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger daughter went in and lay with him. Again, he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is the father of the Moabites of today. The younger daughter also had a son, and she named him Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites today. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Don't you sometimes wish this stuff wasn't in the Bible? I'll tell you, a lot of preachers just preach what are called topical sermons. Because when you take a topical sermon, you can kind of pick what you want to talk about, and then you find some verses in the Bible that apply to that. We don't do that here. We study the whole Bible. We start and work our way through, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And there's just some nasty stuff in here. Do you ever notice that? I mean, there is. And you can either just kind of scurry on over it, or you can just focus on the parts that you're willing to talk about, like fire and brimstone, for instance. I would be happy to spend the entire session this morning just talking about fire and brimstone and the fact that God's wrath is real and the judgment is coming. That can be key point number one, but it's not going to be the only point. Key point number one is that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. God's wrath is real. Now, a lot of folks in our culture today are trying to present sort of a sanitized version of God, where God is really nice all the time to everybody, no matter what. Just, I mean, it's all happy. And we're going to talk about how we all ought to be happy all the time, because everything's so good all the time. And if something doesn't fit that mold, well, we're just not going to talk about it. But that's not the way the Bible is. That's not reality. It's not truth. So when we look at what God tells us in this passage, we see not only that judgment is coming, that God's wrath is real, but that God's wrath is well deserved. We're reading the story of how God wiped out whole cities, destroyed everybody there. But please notice one of the things that is described about the horrible behavior of the people of that city, the people there in Sodom, is that verse 4, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. This was not something where there were some bad guys in the neighborhood. This was not a situation where there was a bad part of town where a lot of crime took place. This was a situation where you had a people who were prosperous. We read elsewhere in Scripture that their sin had to do with their pride and their selfishness and their materialism. Don't think that this was just some primitive group. Lot chose to live there because it was the nicest place to live. The terrain was nice, the climate was better, and they were prosperous. But it was filled with wickedness. When people are materialistic, when people are greedy, when people are focused on pleasure and comfort, all kinds of violence and perversion inevitably grows up with it. And if you look at what is happening in our country today, it isn't just sexual immorality that is rampant. It is greed, which is idolatry. It is materialism. And you read Romans 1 and you see that it goes together. God gives people over to that kind of immorality in the context of people who deny the awareness of God in favor of choosing to worship the creation instead of the Creator. We're living in a world where people are focused on their own pleasure. They're focused on what feels right to them, what feels good to them. And that was the case with everybody, young and old, from all over the city. These men came and they wanted to rape these newcomers in town. That is evil. It wasn't only that it was homosexual behavior, which is an abomination to God. It was also the fact that they were wanting to force sexual contact on someone, which is an abomination to God. It is not okay to use other people selfishly. It is not okay to live as if what matters is me. I'm it. I read a disgusting quote on a Facebook page yesterday from somebody I know and care about, in which they were quoting a member of the clergy who was talking about how wonderful it is to discover that I am all I need. How great it is to find I am sufficient. I am enough. This is a guy, by the way, that member of the clergy who advocates homosexual behavior and says that Jesus did not have to die on the cross in order to pay for our sins. Okay? Those two go together. If you think you're enough and that you're good enough and that you're all you need, of course Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. Because the idea of Jesus dying on the cross was to pay for our sins because you and I have sinned. We have messed up. We have violated God's law. And we need a Savior. And Jesus didn't just come to set us an example of fully actualized selfhood. Jesus came to die. He was introduced by John as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And how does a lamb provide a sacrifice for sin? It costs the lamb's life. Jesus died because you and I deserve to die. He bore God's wrath because you and I deserve God's wrath. And so as you look at the people in this city who are about to be destroyed, I hope you get the message that they deserved to be destroyed. They were bad people in a bad place doing bad things. But Lot was a great guy. Actually, he's described in 2 Peter as being a righteous man whose heart was grieved day after day by the wicked things that he saw going on. So, what's this deal with his daughters? How could a righteous man offer his daughters to a whole mob of rapists and say, do with them what you will. They are virgins. They have never had sex with a man. You can have my daughters.
Well, I think, Pastor, that undoubtedly he knew that those were a bunch of homosexuals and his daughters would be safe with the homosexuals.
If you think it's okay to put your daughters out there with a bunch of rapists who are ready to use violence in order to try and force themselves on anybody, that was not okay. And it's not presented as okay. It's presented as what happened. And the reason it's presented as what happened is because it's what happened. This was not a good moment for Lot. Nor was his subsequent moment when, having been rescued from a city that's about to be destroyed and he's told to flee to the mountains, he says, no, please, I don't want to go to the mountains. There's a small city over here. We were thinking of moving there. It's kind of out in the burbs. And we were thinking, you know, that could be a good place, better place to raise the girls, you know? And so we were thinking of going there. Could you kind of just, when you're destroying everything, spare that city so we'll have a place? Because we really like our creature comforts. He moved to a town called Zoar because it's small. But after he'd been there a while, he began to realize, this place is a lot like Sodom, only smaller. The difference is here everybody knows each other. I don't think this is a safe place either. If I were a betting man, I would bet that the wrath of God is going to fall on this place too. He was afraid to stay in Zoar. And so he left, went to the mountains, and lived in a cave. He had run for his life because he saw the wrath of God. And he was scared. But you know the problem with trying to solve your problems by moving from place to place? Wherever you go, there you are. You may find some temporary relief, including, and I will say something here that people are going to have questions about and you can ask me another time, but you may get some relief from territorial spirits. Because unlike God, who is everywhere, evil spirits do actually have locales where they are assigned and where they do their work. They network together pretty effectively. But sometimes you can actually get a little relief spiritually from addictions and bondages of various kinds by going from one place to another. But it's temporary. It doesn't make the problems all go away because you're still there. Well, let me tell you something. Lot had problems. And the reason he was spared was not because he hadn't sinned. All of us have sinned. The reason he was spared is because God chose to show him mercy, and he even said so himself. Look back in verse 16. The Lord was merciful to them. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. It wasn't deserved. It was mercy. The fact that you and I are alive today instead of burning in hell is mercy. It is the mercy of God that we are not destroyed. We look at some other people and we say, oh, that is just deplorable. That is disgusting. That is disgraceful. That is horrible. And it is. But what about us? We too have sinned. That doesn't make sin okay. It makes us in need of a Savior. And I have very good news for you. God sent Jesus to save sinners. Hallelujah. I am so glad. Because if Jesus hadn't come to save sinners, none of us could be saved. And that would be a real problem for me. So, God spared Lot and his family. His sons-in-law did not make it because they refused to believe and they didn't get out of the city. They were part of that crowd that was out there that he offered to turn his daughters over to. The sons-in-law were out there. That's why Lot was able to go out and speak to them and appeal to them to flee the city. They thought the idea of coming judgment was ridiculous. There are a lot of people today who believe the idea of coming judgment is not only ridiculous, but that it's obscene. They hate any idea of God as a God who pours out wrath on people because they are so smug in their own belief that they are okay and that whatever anybody else does is okay, that they refuse to recognize the righteousness of God and the righteous wrath of God. When they were fleeing, Lot's wife disobeyed a command. It seemed like a small thing. She's running to get away, but she does what they were specifically told not to do. Don't look back. She did. Was it curiosity? Was it longing? Was she thinking about all the plants that she had that she wasn't able to take with her, or fabrics, or friends? Don't know what she was thinking. But I'll tell you what she didn't believe, and that is that the command of God really has to be obeyed. And it cost her her life. Her life had already been spared. She had already gotten out of the city, but when she turned and disobeyed, she was destroyed. Don't think that you're safe just because so far you've been spared. She was a woman who was spared and disobeyed and was destroyed. Please understand, obedience matters. Let Lot's wife be a warning. And then you have the tragic story of incest, where Lot's daughters did not look to God. Instead, they came up with a plan. They wanted to have a baby. They wanted to have somebody to take care of them. Dad's getting older. Mom's dead. I think it would have made sense for them to say, I don't want to disobey God. Daddy, tell us, what should we do? Where will we find husbands? But apparently they didn't feel like Lot was looking out for them. I can't imagine where they'd get that idea. That was sarcasm in case you missed it. But they didn't feel like Dad was looking out for them. And they apparently had no particular faith in their father's God. And so they decided to resort to incest in order to have children. And Lot was able to get so drunk that he really didn't know what was going on. That's a sad story, isn't it? The descendants of those two daughters would become two of the cursed people groups that presented real problems for Israel in later years. But I'll tell you something even more amazing. One of those two, the Moabites and the Ammonites, one of those two, the Moabites, many, many, many years later, would have a child named Ruth. And God would take Ruth and make her part of the family. And not just part of the family of God's people, part of the royal family. Not just part of the royal family, but part of the line of Messiah. Wow. God's able to take horrible stuff, even our sin, and make something beautiful. That is the gospel. The most wicked thing we've ever done was to crucify the Son of God. And God, through his death, purchased our salvation. Doesn't get more amazing than that. I hope that you will recognize your need for a Savior. Cry out to Jesus to save you, to rescue you, to give you new life.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. You have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE,
or contact us on the web at wvr.org.